back on the record. We did have an opportunity to look at the in-camera records. Do any of the commissioners have any questions after reviewing those records? Or either Mr. Zimmerman or Attorney Geisler? No questions?
No, thank you.
I think you wanted to say something when we took a brief recess, Attorney Zimmerman.
I was more of just an objection to one of Attorney Cieslak's comments that she stated today that she represents the Medical Examining Board. That's kind of a fact statement in the record for facts disclosed.
And I asked her specifically whether she gave testimony at the hearing before the hearing officer as to whether she represented them, and she said she did. Is that correct, Attorney Cieslak?
That's accurate.
That's all we paid attention to.
Okay.
Yeah. And that's accurate, Attorney McGee. Yeah. All right. So are there any questions based on that? And entertain a motion.
Mr. Chairman, Commissioner Streeter, I move adoption of the hearing officer's report.
Commissioner Hankins, second.
Is there discussion?
So it seems that the records in question are the client privilege, and that the hearing officer is correct in the decision.
I would concur. That's exactly what my review.
Commissioner Hankins, yeah.
I'm sorry, Commissioner.
That's right, yeah.
It's bread and butter, attorney client.
I agree. I think the hearing officer got it right. All the records appear to be attorney client. So, I'm going to agree with this decision. Anything further? Since there's no other discussion, I'll take a roll call of those in favor. Commissioner Fuseschi?
Yes.
Commissioner Goolsbee?
Yes.
Mr. Hankins?
Yes.
Mr. Streeter?
Yes.
And myself, Chairman Owen Egan, yes. Passes unanimously. Great. Then we move on to the next matter, which is docket number FIC 2022-0220, Russell Zimmerman versus Comptroller, State of Connecticut, Office of the State Comptroller, et al. So will the parties please identify themselves again for the record?
Russell Zimmerman, complainant.
Thank you, Attorney Zimmerman.
Attorney Cieslak for all of the respondents.
Thank you. I will state that we have all had the opportunity to review these records, which were submitted with regard to this case in camera as well. We won't have to stop and do that with regard to this matter. So would you like to begin, Attorney Zimmerman?
It's basically the same arguments, same issues as the previous case. I don't want to read the – if you want me to read the same arguments again, but I won't for –
Thank you.
So, Commissioner Hankins, you're incorporating your argument from last time.
Yes, incorporating by reference my previous arguments.
Excellent. Thank you. Attorney Cieslak.
We'll rest on all of the arguments we previously submitted through our briefs and the prior case.
Thank you. Attorney McGee.
I don't have anything to add.
All right. Do any of the commissioners have any questions for anyone?
I can't. This Commissioner Hankins, I can't do any better than what they've said, so I'm not going to.
Okay. Anything further? All right. Then on this one, I'd entertain a motion.
Yes, Mr. Chairman, Commissioner Streeter, I move adoption of the hearing officer's report.
Commissioner Hankins, second.
Motion's been made and seconded. Is there discussion? I would just repeat what I said. The in-camera records appear to be all attorney-client records and subject to attorney-client privilege. So I think the hearing officer got it right on this one. Anything further? All right. With that, I'll take a roll call of those in favor. Commissioner Fuseschi.
Yes.
Commissioner Goolsbee.
Yes.
Commissioner Hankins.
Yes.
Commissioner Streeter.
Yes.
And myself, Owen Egan, yes. Passes unanimously. Thank you, Attorney Zimmerman. Good job. Thank you, Attorney Zimmerman. Good job.
Thank you.
Thank you, Attorney McGee.
Thank you.
Good job. All right.
All of our warrants, right? Okay. So we have a report on pending appeals. I know Attorney Berman here wanted to just report on a new appeal.
So
we did get
confused.
We did get a new appeal. Alicia Harmon for the record. So at the commission's, you'll recall at the commission's March 8th, 2023 meeting, you voted up a decision in a case filed by inmate Deontay Tomlinson versus Bridgeport Police Department et al. In that case, Mr. Tomlinson had made a request for his records on February 27th, 2020, and he wanted all of his criminal records relating to an incident that occurred on May 13th, 2016. The hearing officer found in her report that by the time of the hearing in this case, some 20 months had passed and no records had been provided to the complainant. The hearing officer also noted that while the respondents represented that they had not denied the request and that they were committed to giving Mr. Tomlinson his records, they just didn't bring any evidence with them as to why, you know, that hadn't happened, and that with the 20 months having passed from the date of the request, the hearing officer found that the request had been effectively denied. Between the issuance of that hearing officer's report and this commission meeting, another, an additional 118 days had elapsed. Counsel for Bridgeport came to this commission meeting on March 8th, 2023, still not having provided any of those records to inmate Tomlinson. So the commission affirmed the hearing officer's recommendation that the records be provided to him, that they conduct a search within 30 days of the notice of final decision, and disclose all responsive records to inmate Tomlinson. So it's interesting when you look at the time that they had to do this. And so I'll give you a little flavor of their appeal, just in a nutshell. Attorney Schwinn, she did a really good job. So here's a little flavor of their argument before the court. The disclosure order. The FOIC's order deprives the appellants, so the Bridgeport Police Department, of their rights and obligations to review responsive records for material which is exempt from disclosure. They had 3 years, because this was a pandemic case. So it's interesting that they're complaining that we didn't allow them time to look at the records. But in every point that we had contact with them, they did not gather or review those records. They hadn't reviewed them at the hearing. They hadn't reviewed them. You would think with the hearing officer's report issuing on November 10th, 2022, and we can't put so many cases on with inmates, we can only do a few at a time. So it took another 118 days to get the hearing officer's report before this commission. You would think in the time between the issuance of the HOR and the commission meeting, they would have come here and said, we gathered, we redacted, we disclosed, and we should have had the information that we have now, but we have it now, could you please send it back? They hadn't even done it when they came here. So it's an interesting position that they're saying that we deprive them of their right to review the records. So it's gonna be a really good appeal. Let's see what the court has to say about that. Deontay Tomlinson versus Armando Perez, Chief Police Department, City of Bridgeport, Police Department, City of Bridgeport, and City of Bridgeport. 3 years, 9 days.
Is that like shooting your parents and saying you're an orphan?
And that's their main argument, that our disclosure order deprived them of their, I just love this, rights and obligations to review responsive records for material which is exempt from disclosure. I don't know when they wanted to do that, but we'll find out.
That's similar to the arguments that they've made here, and then they want us to decide, but then they want an opportunity to redact records, not give records.
Right, and usually what we hear from them, usually the posture when they come here is that by the time of the hearing, or perhaps by the time of the commission meeting, they have given something out very redacted. And they say, well, he didn't complain about the redactions in his complaint to this commission, because at the time the person makes a complaint to the commission, they usually don't have any records. So their usual position is that we can't adjudicate their exemptions because they weren't complained about in the complaint to the commission, which is a whole nother story, because I think when people make a request for public records, they want the whole record, and I think that's implicit. But they couldn't raise that because at the time of the hearing, they hadn't disclosed anything to Mr. Tomlinson. And by the time of this commission's meeting, they hadn't disclosed anything to Mr. Tomlinson. So I don't really know, with 3 years and 9 days, when exactly they plan to review those records. So it's going to be an interesting case for the court to look at. And perhaps the appellate court needs to look at it as well.
If they needed more time to review those records, what is their method to
Well,
do
interestingly, this is a pandemic case. Yeah. So there's no statute of limitations on the commission's need to adjudicate a final decision in this case. So, you know, if they had been, I believe that they should have come here having disclosed the records to Mr. Tomlinson. If they had some redactions, they made the redactions, they could have informed the commission that they had disclosed the records with redactions, redactions that should have been addressed to the hearing officer. They're bad, and kind of admitted that, and then begged the commission to remand it so that they could put on testimony. But they hadn't even done that at the time of the commission meeting, which is really, I don't understand why, since we didn't have a statute of limitations hovering above this case. They could have put on a better face before the commission. So it's a really interesting case to go to court. It isn't like the commission couldn't have, if it found that it wanted to, remand the case for further evidence. It could have in this case because there was no statute of limitations. But they just hadn't done anything, even by the time between the HOR issuing and the commission meeting, again, 118 days, and they still hadn't taken any action.
They could have asked the hearing officer for a continuance, too.
They could have done that, too.
Before, so we haven't had an opportunity to review.
They could have done that. I don't believe there was a statute on this case because, that was too old.
Are there Bridgeport cases remaining that would call COVID time period cases?
I think there's a couple.
I'm just trying to see what the meaning of this would be.
Well, and
for the things we might be hearing why this case is pending.
Ordinarily, we would see a case with a statute of limitations. And so at the commission meeting, sometimes there is time left to send it back to the hearing officer to take more evidence if they ask. Or if they ask the hearing officer, they can grant that. Or if they don't ask the hearing officer, they can ask this commission to remand it. And sometimes there's no time left because we're under that strict one-year limitation. But in this case, there wasn't that limitation. And I don't think that they utilized that fact very well to their advantage.
I'm just wondering if there's a group of cases sitting.
We haven't had any.
Similar situations.
Two sets of hearings that haven't been in Bridgeport cases. Yeah.
Can I ask a procedural question? So if, say, another Bridgeport case comes and we do remand it back to the hearing officer, I know typically if the complainant did not ask for a civil penalty, could at that point, can they bring that up and then we can remand that too? Because I think a lot of people don't know that you have to put that in.
Yeah.
But I would rather see... maybe get Bridgeport some slaps on the wrist.
Most of the inmates do ask for a civil penalty as a matter of course. So we would have to make sure that we gave notice to the person to whom they believe the penalty should issue, and then we could have a civil penalty hearing as well.
So it's like if they're getting something by getting it remanded, that the complainant could get something too. And say, hey, I would like a civil penalty because this is, now it's ridiculous.
Right.
It's the COVID era.
Right. A lot of inmates and correct me if I'm wrong, if a complainant doesn't ask for a civil penalty, I think the hearing officer can raise the issue.
The commission or the hearing officer.
We can raise the issue.
I didn't want to say something.
Right.
We'll do that, but do you know that you can...
If the hearing officer thinks that there's valid grounds, I mean, if the complainant's pro se, and by the time they get before the hearing officer, if the hearing officer believes there's grounds for a civil penalty, the hearing officer can say, I really want to hear from this person. I'm considering a civil penalty. And then you have to give the notice that you're going to have another hearing, and you have to tell the person to come in who you think...
So that's what the hearing officer can do that on the
Yes.
That's what I'm saying. If we're remanding it, that gives them time to...
Yes, the hearing officer can raise it. Because remember, I mean, we're a citizens commission. Not everyone is an attorney. And I think that as long as you give that person who who you think is responsible for the violation an opportunity to be heard. I think the commission, the hearing officer, and then subsequently the commission can issue that penalty.
It's really just a notice issue. That's why we require it of, you know, so the commission can do it on its own. But
so this would have been a perfect case for them to hurry up and get those records reviewed before they got before this commission and kind of fall on their, you know, fall on the sword and say, you know, we took too long, we messed up, but please, please let us go back and put on evidence. They didn't do it. They didn't do it. So let's see what the court has to say.
It's almost like they should be an FORC receivership.
Yeah.
I've not seen anything like them before, so it's...
No, but I mean, wouldn't Waterbury need some kind of receivership? Yeah.
Not for FOI. I mean, we're not that important, but, you know.
Thank you.
Danielle has a case against Bridgeport that will be up for argument.
The appellate court scheduled oral argument in a matter that involves Bridgeport. We appealed to the appellate court because we disagreed with the Superior Court's interpretation of 1-206 subsection A, the provision regarding a requester's right to appeal from a constructive or deemed denial after 4 business days. And so that is the issue we've raised on appeal. And of course, Bridgeport has raised some other issues that I think we've heard repeatedly here at the commission. I don't know if the appellate court will go there. But if they do, perhaps we'll have some language around this issue of, you know, whether it's appropriate for the commission to take up the issue of exemptions when it wasn't technically pleaded in the complaint. Although, as Attorney Harmon said, it's implied that when someone asks for public records, they want all of the records. And if an agency elects to provide redacted records down the road and the complaint is pending, that is appropriately before the commission. So that is a week from tomorrow.
Bridgeport Day here again. Let's see, under Executive Director's Report, I guess maybe I'll just mention here that we may need to do a special meeting. We have quite a complicated matter that was postponed a number of times to allow the parties to figure things out, and it's a matter that's been heard, needed. Two hearings, right? Did that case need two hearings? And there's in-camera records, and we're just concerned that we may not be able to get it to you before, for a regular commission meeting before it's going to expire. So we may be contacting you, and that would be in the early days of June is when we probably need to do that hearing.
What case is that?
That is, what's the title of it, Peter?
It's just the one Edelman versus the Department of Education.
No. So just wanted to alert you. We may reach out to you on that front as time is getting short and it's a complicated case. So other than that, let's see, on staff reports, just again, we're near conclusion on our hiring of a staff attorney. I think we're going to have one more round where we invite a few people in to talk to some of our lawyers about what it's like to work here, and then we'll choose from there. And we've posted for our secretary position, and the managing director position is making its way through the approval process. So we're moving along there. Under legislative report, Paula is not, I think she's on the phone, but not with us here in person. I think we'll hold on a legislative report, but just let you know that we've got, still have like 4 or 5 really hot bills that we're working on and making some good headway on. Still no word on the commission's bill. It's ready to go. It made it through the committee, but has not moved. The legislature is meeting a lot more in session now, and there are 4 weeks left to go in the session exactly. So, maybe next time we'll give you a little further report on that. And I think that's it. Nothing under new business.
The increased amounts of civil penalties, that's still not been acted on, is that correct?
That has not been acted on, no. That's also...
So it's good, but it has not been voted on.
Right. That's also
You know, if language has actually been written, because the bill is just one sentence now or something.
Yes, there's language. There's language for that bill, yes. There was some discussion about modifying, not the part about the penalties, but the part about some of the other remedies that they wanted to impose, and we were trying to help give some remedies that would help complainants coming before us. So the language may be modified, but
it seems that pace to move forward.
Yes, I think so.
Mr. Chairman, I move adjourn.
Second.
Motion's been made and seconded. We'll take a roll call of those in favor. Commissioner Buzashi.
Yes.
Commissioner Goolsbee.
Yes.
Commissioner Hankins.
Yes.
Commissioner Streeter.
Yes.
And myself, Owen Egan, yes. We're adjourned. Thank you, everyone.
Thank
Great
you.
Job. Good job, everybody.
You're going to come back, right?
Yeah.